One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together
we're
hungover.
Party all night. Party all night.
We're very hungover.
I'm hanging in there. Doing okay.
I was hanging in there.
Yeah.
And then I'm on the roller coaster.
Right. And right now you're at the bottom of a dip.
Yeah. Or the top. I don't know which is worse.
Slowly being pulled over the top of a hill.
Yeah.
In the very back car.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's not great right now.
Oh, Shannon.
I know. I really was doing okay.
Uh-huh.
And then I sat down.
The body wants to be in motion.
Yeah, and now I'm not okay.
Aww.
It's your fault, though.
It's not my fault.
You had a housewarming party.
I didn't force you to drink a lot.
Yes, you did.
I gave you the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the house is warm.
The house is super warm, but it's not. Warm. It's cool because there's air conditioning.
Exactly.
It's great.
But warm with the love of friends.
Happy housewarming.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You too?
Yeah.
I guess.
Since I live upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Building warming.
We're just going to count it.
Commune warming.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, this is Song Salad. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, do you think they have like housewarming parties at cult compounds, communes, for like if someone's got their little tent set up finally?
I feel like anytime you join a cult, there's kind of a like ongoing housewarming party because people are just so excited that you're there, you know?
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on.
I said a thing. You said a thing. I responded to the thing you said. That's how it works. And
here
now
at Song Salad.
Yeah.
Which is a podcast where we take a random genre of music and combine it with a random topic from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And that becomes a short song.
Because we write it.
That we write.
Mm-hmm.
We get the random topic and genre with your help, loyal listeners, by your salad spinner suggestions. And the salad spinner is a noise or activity or phrase for us to do. Craft.
I hope it's not an activity.
An audio craft for us to do.
Oh, my God. An audio craft, yeah.
And this week's salad spinner comes from
Claire Dixon.
At Claire_Dixon.
She says, me running for the train I might be about to miss. I'm currently on a bus, so I can write this.
Okay. So we need to be Claire running for the train she's about to miss.
This is a much more active salad spinner than I may be capable of at the moment.
You just need to run with your voice. You don't need to really run.
You just need to run with your voice.
Yeah.
Right.
And Claire is from the UK.
Yeah.
So
do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Would be offensive.
Wait, what would be offensive? Your accent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's used to our offensive accents, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just go for it.
She wouldn't have put it in there if she didn't want to hear us be bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, cool, blimey, my train! I love beer!
Cool, blimey. No one says core blimey, I'm pretty
Maybe
sure.
She does.
I don't think so.
And then I added a personal touch because I know she likes beer.
Well, she works at a brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spin.
Spin.
Bop.
Bop, da-dop, chibop, chibop, bebop, da-drop, bop.
That was our song this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Ta-da, now it's over. I can go lay down.
Shannon's going to go to bed.
No, we got bebop.
We got bebop. We're going back to the 40s today, back to the age of Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker and Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan, you know, them.
My earbuds were in backwards. That's why I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. Well, feeling better now?
Yep.
Good. Bebop is a style of jazz developed in the early to mid 1940s in the United States, which features songs characterized by fast tempo, mm-hmm. complex chord progressions with rapid chord changes and numerous changes of key. Fun for me today. Yep. Instrumental virtuosity and improvisation based on a combination of harmonic structure, the use of scales, and occasional reference to the melody. So what that means is that usually these bebop songs set up a short statement of a melody, a hook, or mm-hmm. a head, as it's sometimes called in this genre, and then instrumentalists in the band just kind of improvise on the chord changes that go along with that melody and take it to other related keys and other related chord progressions as well, and then sometimes come back to the melody.
Cool.
Vocally, the most prominent style associated with bebop is scatting.
Woo-hoo.
As you heard Shannon do.
Sort of. We haven't had an episode where you had to scat or where anybody had to scat.
You're right.
In a very long time, right?
Not since Swing Swing, Bill Campbell Swing.
Which was like episode 3 or something.
It was really early on.
Yeah, it was a very long time ago. So we've learned a lot since then.
Yes, we have.
But yeah, we'll see. And, you know, just looking at the songs that we've looked at already and when we spun this topic, it kind of seems like minimal vocals other than scatting. So,
right.
And especially like call and response kind of things, or like mm-hmm. things that are like easily repeated.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a Dizzy Gillespie song called Salt Peanuts,
yes.
where the only lyric is salt peanuts, and you just kind of like say it. You don't even sing it.
Yeah. Oh, so we watched this video of Dizzy Gillespie explaining salt peanuts, explaining like the rhythm of salt peanuts by scatting the rhythm.
It was like salt peanuts, salt peanuts.
Yeah, and then yep. they like actually played it, and in the music you just hear the like boom. Yeah, and you don't really hear anybody saying salt peanuts.
Yeah, I mean it depends on the recording. There's
yeah.
some, you know, I think I don't remember if it was us that played it in jazz band or if I like saw another high school jazz band play it, but the whole band actually said
salt peanuts
in that space.
Yeah.
There's also a song, this is similar to a song that's not really bebop, but it's called So What by Miles Davis. And the melody is like but it's called So What because you're supposed to think in your head, so what? So what?
I like these the like lyric inception that
yeah,
the
exactly.
song is doing. It's like putting the lyric in your head.
You're gonna think about it even if you don't hear it.
Yeah. Maybe that's what my lyrics are gonna be. I'll read the lyrics and then you won't actually hear any of the lyrics, but it'll be
right.
implied that the musical instrument is saying the lyrics.
We'll call it Hangover and it'll go boom, hangover, hangover.
Well, I mean, we might call the song Hangover anyway.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of the instruments that we might hear.
Typical instruments in bebop songs are similar to swing bands. So you have clarinet, saxophone, trumpet, trombone, piano, bass, drums, sometimes guitar. And usually there is a band leader that plays either...
Band leader.
Yeah. Either a tenor saxophone in the case of Charlie Parker, or trumpet in the case of Dizzy Gillespie, or clarinet in the case of Benny Goodman. He's the one. And then sometimes singers such as Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Betty Carter, Earl Coleman, Billy Eckstine, Kenny Haygood, and Johnny Hartman.
Cool.
Tell us where the name bebop comes from, Shannon.
So, supposedly, it is...
Legend has it.
There are, well, unsurprisingly, I should say, there are a couple different competing stories.
Yeah.
One of them is that it was coined by Charlie Christian because it sounded like something he hummed along with his playing. Yeah, I'm not sure you can hum bebop. Like, bebop is a specific word that you literally can't hum because you need
the, like, the B in there.
Yeah, the bebop Like, it's not just... Mm-hmm. Anyway, the other... You're trying to humpy bump? Mm-hmm. The other competing theory is that Dizzy Gillespie said that the audiences coined the name after hearing him scat then nameless tunes to his players, which is really, if you look up that video of Dizzy Gillespie doing Salt Peanuts, that's like kind of what he was doing.
Right.
He's just kind of like scatting the rhythm. Yeah. And then the players pick it up. And he said that the audiences would call it that. And then the press would pick it up. And he would say, he said, people, when they'd ask for those numbers and didn't know the name, would ask for bebop.
Yes.
So another theory is that it derives from the cry of Arriba Arriba, used by Latin American band leaders at the point of the period.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound that similar.
Yeah.
Arriba Arriba, it's all peanuts. And at times, bebop and rebop were used interchangeably.
Yeah.
But by 1945, bebop or rebop as nonsense syllables, like, started spreading out into like different types of music too.
Mm-hmm. And Dizzy Gillespie had a group called the Rebop Six late 40s too, once the genre caught on.
Here's what I didn't know about Dizzy Gillespie until we watched that video.
Yeah.
He is a mutant.
He is a frog man.
He is a frog man. not just his cheeks puff out unnaturally big, but also his like neck sacs.
Right.
He has like these air sacs in his neck that also like inflate.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's really disturbing.
And I used to play the trumpet like all through school, and it's not easy to play the trumpet with your cheeks puffed out. It's much easier to like keep things controlled and tight. And I guess like there might be something to be said for like creating a reserve of air like a bagpipe almost, so that you can like circular breathe while
maybe
you're playing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what he was doing as much as just like that was his natural technique of playing the trumpet. It was just puffing out.
You know how there are people who like are just weirdly good at like a very specific thing because of a certain weird way their body is shaped? Like like Michael Phelps has like unnaturally long arms, like
big hands. Yeah,
like his arms are like much bigger than they normally would be for a person his, and he's a tall guy anyway.
Sure.
But it's like it just makes him a really fabulous swimmer because of his arm span. But even if he wasn't a swimmer, he would still, it's not like he trained himself to have big arms.
Yeah.
So like I wonder if Dizzy Gillespie just like had his crazy frog neck.
Yeah.
And just happened to find
the trumpet.
The trumpet.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think there's any physical aspects to us that we're not capitalizing on?
Well, that was going to be my next like vein of questioning. It's like, think about all the people who have like the perfect genetic mutation to make them like amazing like shuffleboard players or whatever,
but
and they
would
don't
never
do it.
No.
Yeah. Okay. What about me?
Yeah.
What genetic gift am I wasting?
What's unique to you bodily?
Weird to think about. Well, I have a very long torso.
Okay.
And short legs.
What could that help you with in life?
So I'm thinking if I had a job where...
I'm also just thinking about our podcast listeners that might not know what you look like and are now picturing you with little tiny stubby legs and the longest torso.
I have like little midget cat legs, you know, those little tiny like corgi legs.
Yes.
And then a very long torso, so much so that like articles of clothing that have to like go from like my crotch to my neck, like leotards or bathing suits, like often don't fit me properly because they just end up like inside me because it's too stretched out. But I was thinking
so
that
if you had a job.
Well, okay, so here was my thought, but now that I'm thinking through it, it doesn't make sense, but I'll say it anyway, which was if I had a job where I had to be wading in a shallow pool of water, but also reaching up for things. I was like, no, if I were just taller,
no, you're
it would
right.
be...
Water polo.
Oh.
You'd be a great water polo player.
Would I?
Yeah, because you can use the strength of your little legs.
My short little legs.
Under the water to move you around, but then you have enough height above the water with your torso.
But wouldn't longer legs be better?
Not necessarily.
Because they'd be heavier and I'd be sunk down deeper into the pool, right?
I don't know.
So that might not be good.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
I don't know how water
polo works. I do have strong
works.
Legs. I have big thigh muscles.
Okay.
What are these called? Quads.
Quads.
Yep. What do you think you'd be naturally
good at? I mean, I have pretty big hands proportionately, which are good for playing the piano, which I've already found.
Yeah.
I do have two different color eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I could.
We sound like aliens. Scott has
send
two
us,
different color
send us
eyes.
Drawings of what you think we look like.
And I have corgi legs and a giraffe torso. What the hell? No, okay. Scott's eyes are subtly different colors, but they are different
colors.
They're
different shades of brown.
Yeah,
that's
one
it.
Is light and one is dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe I could be working in some sort of espionage where I could have
what?
Two different eye scans where normal people would only have one or something.
I don't think that's how eye scans work.
Well, I don't know how water polo or eye scans work.
This is true. Me either. Yeah, I don't think eye scans scan the color of your eyes.
Maybe in some underdeveloped countries that need spies.
Maybe.
Eye spies.
Stop
with
it.
My little eyes.
With my little legs.
With my little legs.
No, I do seriously have very short legs for my body. Like, my mom makes fun of how short my legs are.
She made you.
I know. I got them from her. I did. I got them from her, and it delights her to no end that mine are actually even shorter than hers are.
Picture your mom being like, ha ha, got my jeans. Yeah.
Well, I got all the worst parts of my mom and dad's, their genetic vulnerabilities. I think I have all of them. I have weak ankles from my mom. I have knee and back issues from my dad.
Yeah.
I don't even know what else. I have dark, coarse body hair and the lightest
skin. Put that
skin.
In your drawings too.
I'm basically translucent with dark
she's
leg
like a
hair.
Brillo pad Chewbacca.
I feel like
you're like one of those grill brushes.
I'm a human grill brush. Just
short,
wiry, little legs
grill
and a
brush.
Long handle up to the top.
And I look like the hamburger helper logo with different colored eyes.
Just a giant
four-fingered hand.
Oh, we need new album art now our podcast.
We need to call Kayla Wassel.
Kayla
and
Wassel,
have her redo
please,
our
can
album
you redraw
art.
Us?
Oh, man.
Oh, we're not.
What are we doing?
Are we ugly people? Did we just discover that we're ugly?
We are.
Yeah.
Well, we're unique.
Sure.
Okay.
Bebop. We need an example.
Let's play Sarah Vaughan.
Yes.
Singing Shulia Bop.
Shulia Bop.
Which is a good example of scatting.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's also play a little bit of Salt Peanuts.
Yes, agreed.
You can get a sense of that.
Cool.
I'm mad at you, pretty baby. Don't be mad at me. Jean Malachi.
Thank you. peanuts, salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts.
So yeah, I think our plan lyrically for this is going to be set up like a short phrase, short idea of something we can set to a melody, mm-hmm. and then we can improvise around it and scat around it.
I think that sounds good. Is there like a reason that like what is the like rhythmic bebop? You know what I mean? Like what makes bebop not just jazz music or swing?
Yeah, we didn't mention this. So bebop grew out of swing as a faster form of jazz, and it wasn't intended for people to dance to. It was intended for people to listen to and intended to show musicianship. So bebop musicians called it musicians' music because it was more intellectual, I guess, than just for entertainment.
Gotcha. So it's snobby jazz music.
Snobby jazz.
Got it.
After bebop, we got into like even snobbier jazz with like art jazz.
But, art jazz. You know. My goodness.
Bebop.
Great.
Let's get a topic.
Oh, right. We do need a topic. That is the other half of the episode.
And Shannon will get the topic for us by spinning the salad spinner as
Claire Dixon
running for her imminent train.
Right.
Did you say, oh no, I'm going to miss the train?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kazoo.
Because Kazoo speak,
which is actually kind of like the musical instruments sounding like words that we talked about earlier.
Bebop.
But thanks for the kazoo inspiration, Claire, with your game that you played several episodes back. You can hear it.
Spin.
Fan.
Ooh, a moon crater.
A moon crater.
A lunar crater called Thebit.
Thebit?
Thebit. It's a Latinization of the name of the Syrian astronomer and mathematician Thebit in Quora, which maybe we can find a pronunciation.
Cool. A Syrian astronomer and mathematician. That's really interesting. Okay.
So yeah, it's a lunar impact crater located on the southeast shore of Mare Nubium. To the north-northwest is the crater Arzachel, and Purbach lies to the south-southwest. So if you need to get your bearings, that's how you find it. Just take a left at Arzachel.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like, what the hell, Wikipedia?
Oh, man. To the southwest is the flooded remnants of Thebit P, which is actually larger in diameter than Thebit itself. Flooded.
Flooded remnants.
Was there water on the moon?
Is that what flooded? That means? No, that can't be right, right?
I don't know enough about the moon. But I've never heard of there being water on it.
No, I don't. I mean, maybe like once a long, long time ago or something, and that's what it... But like, how would it be...
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll do some research.
The rim of Thebit... It's probably Thebit. Thebit?
I wonder if there's pronunciation.
I don't know. Anyway, it's generally circular in outline with a double notch in the southwest wall. A prominent bowl-shaped crater, Thebit A, lies across the west-northwestern rim. The west-northwestern rim of this crater is overlain in turn by the even smaller Thebit L. Together, this forms an elegant arrangement that makes Thebit relatively simple to identify. The floor of Thebit Crater is rough and has no central peak. The rim displays a terrace and has a hilly outer rampart. So there's Thebit A through U.
Oh.
But missing some in between. Wait.
A, B, C, D, E, F, J.
K, L, P.
Q, R, S, T, U.
Yeah.
Huh.
By convention, these features are identified on lunar maps by placing the letter on the side of the crater midpoint that is closest to Thebit. So Thebit itself is the crater, and all of these A through U are smaller satellite craters around it. So like you look at the big circle is Thebit, and all the little circles are A through U.
Got it. I understand. Okay.
It's a nice crater.
It's not. It's a, you know, it's a perfectly nice crater.
As far as craters go.
Yeah. I mean, who could ask for anything more out of a crater? How big is it?
Huh. It's 3.27 kilometers deep.
Whoa.
That's deep.
That's a lot deeper than I thought.
It doesn't look that deep in the picture.
No, it doesn't.
It's 32 miles in diameter.
What?
Yep.
What?
That's crazy.
Okay, that's so much bigger than I thought.
That's huge.
And it's on the moon?
Yeah.
How big is the moon? I guess I don't know how big the moon is.
It's really big.
Yeah, but it's not really big. It's smaller than Earth.
Well, Earth is really big.
I mean, yeah. I guess. But for the just one crater to be 32 miles across, I looked up Mare. Is it Mare or Mare? I think it's Mare is how you say.
Probably because that means like sea.
Sea in Latin, right? Yep.
Mare Nubium.
Yeah, so Mare Nubium, which translates to Sea of Clouds, but is not to be confused with Sea of Clouds.
Which is?
An overcast layer of clouds viewed from above with a relatively uniform top, which shows undulations of very different lengths resembling waves.
Gotcha.
So that's like if you're on top of a mountain and you look down and you can see clouds, that's a sea of clouds. Is a lunar mare in the Nubian Basin of the moon's near side. It's just located, it's southeast of the Oceanus Procellarum. The radius of the moon.
Yes.
Is 1,079 miles.
Okay.
So that's the radius. Which isn't a radius from the center out to the...
Yeah, to the edge.
So then the diameter of it is double that. So like 2,200 miles, let's say.
Okay.
In diameter.
So the diameter of this crater is 32 miles.
That's big.
It's a big one. We got a big one.
That's big. We got a big one.
It's also 57 kilometers if you're thinking in kilometers, not miles.
Oh, right.
So 57 kilometers diameter and 3.7 kilometers deep.
That's big. We got a big hole. We got a big space hole.
Big old swimming hole all damn day.
Big old space hole.
Big old space hole. Okay.
Okay.
Well, Bebop. It's actually kind of great that we have Bebop with Thebit.
Thebit.
And we can just like say the names of different things on the moon as if we're scouting.
Great. Okay, I'm going to learn a little bit more about craters, let's just say. And
okay.
Then we'll meet back here. What are you going to do?
I'm going to try to write a Bebop tune.
Cool.
Here we go.
Woo.
We're bopping.
Bebopping?
Bebopping.
Hell yeah.
You know, have you heard the kids these days saying that a song is a bop? Like, oh, that's a bop.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's like a really great song.
Wait, is this like the slap?
What's the slap?
They talked about it on Wonderful, which is a great podcast that you should listen to too. But apparently it means that something is a good song. It's a slap. It's
interchangeable. Slap, probably.
Slap or slapping.
Maybe slap is like even newer than bop because bop is like probably close to a year old now.
Oh, out of date.
Yeah.
I have not heard that. But now I will say it and embarrass myself.
Especially a song that you can like nod your head to.
Bop to.
Bop to, yeah. It's a bop.
It's a bop.
We're writing a bop.
Dirt a bop.
I've got drums, bass, piano, tenor sax, trumpet, and vocals.
That sounds great.
And I'm going for a fast bebop song. A lot of bebop songs are characterized by a walking bass. But not necessarily following that harmonic outline from blues and jazz.
Yes.
Like doing more of its own thing with the more complex harmonies, but like hitting every beat of the bar.
Right.
Yep.
I learned some more stuff about the moon.
Do you know everything about the moon now?
No.
Okay.
I know more than I did 10 minutes ago, though.
That's good.
Yeah. So let me tell you the most interesting thing I learned about the moon. So So there are three things.
Yeah.
First, I wanted to find out what it means for a crater to be flooded.
Yeah.
And what that means is that the impact of whatever hit the moon to make the crater cracked into the moon's mantle and lava filled the crater.
Lava.
Lava.
Not water.
Not water. I mean,
that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the thing is, like, I don't think of the moon as having lava in it, but I guess it does.
Does the moon have active volcanoes?
I thought they were all dead.
Dormant?
Yeah. I'm Googling moon volcanoes.
That's a good band name.
Moon volcanoes is a great band name. Ooh. There's a whole list of extraterrestrial volcanoes. Why couldn't we have gotten this Wikipedia article?
That's cool, too.
Yeah.
The moon.
Due to the low viscosity of most lunar lava. So it's really runny, I guess.
Yeah, runny lava.
Runny lava. Volcanic mountains were seldom created. Instead, basaltic lava flooded large areas and became the lunar Maria. So those are the big, like, flat black plains that you see on the moon.
Crazy.
The lunar Maria. Okay, so that was the first thing I learned. The second thing, you know, the moon doesn't have an atmosphere, which makes it liable or puts it at danger of being hit by so many things.
Right.
Because things
can't
don't
get broken up and burnt up.
Right.
As
exactly.
Descending.
Yes. And I mean, every once in a while, a big thing does hit the earth, like that happens, but they have to be really, really big.
Yeah.
To get through the atmosphere. So that's why the moon has like a ton of pockmarks. It's from all the things like hitting, all the things that have hit it.
Better the moon than us.
Exactly. Then this is the craziest thing I learned.
What?
There is a huge impact basin. So the impact basin is like the whole like perimeter of what got hit, right? It's not just like the actual point where it got hit. It's like everything around it. There's an impact basin that's near the South Pole of the moon, or rather that encompasses the South Pole of the moon. And it's 1,553 miles in diameter.
Jeez.
It's basically more than half the diameter of the whole moon.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, it comprises a huge area on the bottom of the moon.
Crazy.
And what they think is that something really big hit it at a relatively low velocity on a kind of shallow angle. Mm-hmm. So it like hit off the bottom of the moon. And it has both the highest and lowest elevation. It's -6 kilometers deep and it's 8 kilometers high, like the mountains around it. Yeah.
Huh.
And you can see it. It just looks like a big black spot on the bottom of the moon.
Cool.
Which I can't find the picture that I had of it now. But isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
How big that is?
I wonder if like at a certain point in the development of the world, we had like effectively two moons and one of them had like a wonky orbit that eventually just like nicked off the other moon and then went out into space.
Somebody call NASA. We've got the two moons theory. Because I'm sure no one has explored this at all. That would be kind of amazing. I just imagine the one just like going, whoa, 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 whoa.
Exactly. And just like flinging out.
Yeah. So that's what I learned about craters.
Two Moon Theory is also a good band name.
Two Moon Theory is a great band name. Well, that can be our bebop band.
Two Moon Theory.
Two Moon Theory. Okay. So I just wrote two little rhyming couplets that we can use as the base for some scatting.
Okay.
And I feel like songs like this, or at least the ones that we've heard so far, and like songs in that era are like pretty like positive and like kind of like upbeat and happy.
Yeah.
So I did a little happy rhyme.
Cool.
If the night is moonlit, say hello to Thebit. There's no thrill that's greater than waving to a crater. So go out and wave to Thebit.
Go wave
on the
moon. To Thebit, everyone.
Yeah. That's
it. I like that.
Yeah.
Waving Simple. To a crater could be a good title. Say hello to Thebit. Did we find out? Is it Thebit?
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Let's say Thebit.
I think Thebit is a good bet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good bit.
A good bit.
Cool. Well, it's funny that you say like you know, everything was happy and positive from this time. Because I actually went in a little bit of a different direction with the music.
Oh, no, really?
Not like, you know, dark, but a lot of this bebop music, especially because it was intended for other musicians and to be a little bit more intellectual, mm-hmm. explored harmonic areas and tonalities that were in like world music at the time, because it was like an exotic fascination of like these other types of music, but put into the context of jazz. So there's songs like A Night in Tunisia by Bud Powell, or Blue Rondo a la Turk from Dave Brubeck, that had these sort of like, you know, exotic scales. So I kind of went in that direction with like a little bit of an exotic feel, because I was thinking, oh, it's the moon. It's, yeah. it's other.
I do kind of like that, though.
So, but it's, I can definitely like in the, you know, the chorus, quote unquote, of this, like have it go a little bit major to be.
It doesn't have happy. To be. I could make it, I could say, if the night is moonlit, say goodbye to Thebet.
No, that doesn't make sense, though.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
No, I like it. Let's just keep it as is. I think it'll work well. Here is Say Hello to Thebet,
our bebop song
about the moon crater Thebet
by Shannon and Scott.
If the night is moonlit, say hello to Thebet. There's no thrill that's greater than wading to a crater. Boo-da-ba-da-da, boo-da-ba-da-dee, boo-dee-bum. If the night is moonlit, say hello to Phoebe. There's no thrill that's greater than waving to a crater.
Do you think anyone's ever written a song about a moon crater before?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. A bebop song, though?
No, that might not be.
Might be the first.
Yeah.
Cool.
There are definitely like lots of songs that reference like the dark side of the moon and like the seas on the moon and right. stuff. Yeah.
Do you think we'll like colonize it someday?
I think more likely it will be some kind of like way station.
Like place to rest in between trips to Mars and stuff,
maybe. Or like if there are things that we need like to like resupply people in orbit without having to like come down, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah,
like maybe something like that.
When you say way station, I picture like you're driving on the highway and it's like, oh, way
that
station,
kind of way station,
open or closed
instead of way. Yeah,
and it's like you driving out to space. It's like, oh man, the way station's open. We gotta stop.
Gotta pull over. Gotta make sure we're not too heavy.
Not too heavy for space. If you like Thebet and bebop, you might like some of our back catalog.
Please subscribe to us.
Yes.
And for all of those of you who have shared us recently or have followed us on Twitter or come joined the Facebook group, the Produce Section, Song Salad Podcast, the Produce Section. We really do appreciate you.
We do.
We love having you as part of our weird little family. And we also especially appreciate reviews.
Yeah, they help us get noticed.
They do. And we have a new one from Fairy Files.
Fairy Files.
Fairy Files. The title is Delicious, Nutritious, and Hilarious. These two podcasters are hilariously amazing.
Aww.
Isn't that so nice? And then this person says, I love listening to these dorks.
Which we wear as a badge of honor.
Yes, thank you. We're happy to be dorks. And she or he also says, some of them, by the way, are amazing, meaning the songs, and I'd listen to them fully.
Cool.
That won't happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
probably not.
Yeah, no. Cause no one will pay us to do that.
Nope.
but thank
but
you so much.
You can listen to them over and over on the podcast.
You can. Thank you, Fairy Files. And, if you write us a review, we'll shout you out just like Fairy Files. So thank you to whomever that was.
And thank you again to Claire Dixon for our salad spinner suggestion this week.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you caught that train.
Yeah, it was from a very long time ago. So.
Yeah, it was.
ship done sailed.
Still got a long list of salad spinners, but that doesn't mean we don't want you to suggest them for us. Keep them coming, and eventually we'll surprise you by putting it on the show.
Yep.
In like a year or whatever.
Yep, yep, yep.
It'll be great.
It'll be great.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we
love the moon.
1, 2, 3.
Marmots.
Beep up, doop, up, doop, up, doop, up, wow.